I was once told to write and share what you love. Someone might appreciate it. So today I will share with you how I listen to music, and I call it sacred listening. Nietzsche said that without music, life would be a mistake. And when I read those words, I added a line to the book of Genesis. On the day before God began his week's work, God created music. And that evening, God put together a playlist, the perfect soundtrack for the week's work ahead. And then on that very first Monday morning, God put on the stereo, turned up the volume, and got to work. There must have been music surrounding the creation. The big blast that set in motion the stars and the planets, the multicolored gases that collided and brought light out of darkness. The piece I played there for the meditation was Spiegel in Spiegel by Arvo Pärt, and it was written in 1978. It means mirror in mirror, or infinity mirror, which produces an infinity of images. The simplicity of that music is just baffling. And listening to it, I can see the stars in the heavens appearing one by one, the universe not quite created yet, masses of gases of infinite colors, collaborating, growing, building mass, until after a couple of billion years, the moment of the explosion that set in motion the created world in which we all dwell. As Lao Tzu put it, there was something formless and perfect before the universe was born. It is serene, empty, solitary, unchanging, infinite, eternally present. It is the mother of the universe. Victor Hugo suggested that music can express those things we can't put into words. Music for me was always provided a soundtrack to what I was doing or what I was thinking, and perhaps for you too. Big operatic arias for housework, sacred choral music for contemplation, and Irish traditional music when drinking pints in the pub. Loud and fast music just for the hell of it, and also music to provide comfort in sorrow, but music as well to emphasize joy and happiness. This is the old Salieri, looking over the score of Mozart's Serenade No. 10 in B-flat. Now Salieri, as presented by Peter Schaeffer in his play Amadeus, is a bitter, envious man who hated Mozart. He could not understand how God would endow Mozart with such extraordinary gifts. Now, the story as told by Schaeffer is fiction. Historians of the great Amadeus Mozart dispute there was any such rivalry. But there is a passage in the play and the film which captures the paradox we often come across. Where does such beauty emanate from? Extraordinary. On the page it looked nothing. The beginning simple, almost comic. Just a pulse, bassoons and basset horns, like a rusty squeeze box. Then suddenly, high above it, an oboe, a single note, hanging there unwavering, till a clarinet took over and sweetened it into a phrase of such delight. This was no composition by a performing monkey. This was a music I'd never heard before, filled with such longing, such unfulfillable longing. It had me trembling. It seemed to me that I was hearing a voice of God. Now, the notion that God would gift such talent to anyone, particularly someone deemed unworthy, is a common theme in the great theatre of life. Like Salieri, we can be envious of another's talent, or not notice talent or beauty at all. And why would God choose such unworthy vessels to communicate beauty? I don't know. But the gift is not only in the creation of such beautiful sounds. The gift is the gift. The ability to hear and listen and respond. It is a gift to recognize and respond to its beauty. This is sacred listening. Music calms cattle at sheds in winter. It soothes a baby in its cot. And it even soothes noisy teenagers in a frantic youth project. They can become calm at the hearing of beautiful music. And I used to do that, and it generally worked. If one should desire to know whether a kingdom is well governed, if its morals are good or bad, the quality of its music will furnish the answer. So said Confucius. Of course, much beautiful music is religious music, often music composed for Christian liturgy, requiems, masses, worship, and prayer. Music and song fills mosques, temples, synagogues, and anywhere people gather in celebration, or in mourning, or in thanksgiving. This next piece is called Sanctus, by Irish composer Patrick Cassidy. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Carl Jenkins is a Welsh composer, and he recently celebrated his 80th birthday. Now, he's famous for his musical creation, Adiemus. Jenkins wrote his Armed Man as a plea for peace, a most beautiful work featuring orchestra and choir, and it draws on music from a number of musical traditions, including a 15th century Christian hymn and the Adhan, the Muslim call to prayer, and the Adhan sounds like this.
Allahu Akbar, Allah Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allah Akbar. Shahadu an la ilaha illallah.
Allah is great. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Come to prayer. Come to success. Incidentally, the performance of this work was not allowed to go ahead in the Anglican Christ Church Cathedral in New Zealand because of the inclusion of that piece. But I'm sure that we were happy to hear it sung here today. The Armed Man begins with the sound of soldiers marching into battle, with the drums of war and a fife playing a battle tune. The lyrics read, "The armed man is to be feared." Now, Jenkins wrote this work as his contribution to the universal appeal for nations to live in peace with each other. And he wrote it in 2000 to mark the transition from one millennium to the new one. And it reflects on the passing of the most war-torn and destructive century in human history. And it looks forward in hope to a more peaceful time. The Armed Man is dedicated to the victims of the Kosovo conflict. And that tragedy was unfolding just as he was writing it. Now, Jenkins describes himself as essentially Christian, but with a more universal understanding of what he calls the afterlife. He says there can only be one being. This is the being, or God, of all people: Hindu, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, spiritualist. This is Benedictus from The Armed Man. So what about hymn singing? You can discard this thought, but I wonder, is hymn singing to Protestants what the rosary is to Catholics? Now, both were used to teach. Charles Wesley's hymns taught theology to a largely uneducated population, and the rosary taught the scriptures to a similar uneducated and illiterate population. But hymns went beyond scripture for us dissenters. Hymn lyrics often articulate our nonconformist beliefs. Instead of "onward Christian soldiers," it's "forward to the ages." The fire mist and the planet celebrates science and discovery. It describes the wonders we encounter in the world, and it begins: "A fire mist and a planet, a crystal and a cell, a starfish and a sauron, and caves where ancients dwell. The sense of law and beauty, a face turned from the sod. Some call it evolution, and others call it God." And then there's poetry set to music, and this is where you encounter magic. For what was once two different substances, eons apart, unrelated, now become wedded. When a great poem collaborates with music, you have something quite special. Now, The Seal Lullaby was written by Rudyard Kipling in the early 1900s, and Eric Whitaker is a contemporary American composer and conductor. And the poem goes like this: "Oh, hush thee, my baby, the night is behind us, and black are the waters that sparkled so green. The moor, the moon, or the combers looks downward to find us, at rest in the hollows that rustle between. Where billow meets billow, there soft be thy pillow. A weary wee flippering curl at thy ease. The storm shall not wake thee, nor shark overtake thee, asleep in the arms of the slow swinging seas." And this is Whitaker's music to Kipling's The Seal Lullaby. And often, sacred listening leads to prayer or thanksgiving. God of instinct, who giveth both crocodile and seal the irrepressible need and desire to protect, care, and nourish their young. Protect and care and nourish me so that I may live an abundant life. The last piece I'm going to introduce to you is Finzi's Eclogue. Now, Gerald Finzi was an English composer who was born in 1901. The Eclogue is a piece that Finzi started writing in the 1920s, but he never got round to finishing it, and it wasn't heard until well after his death. I discovered Finzi as I was walking in the hills. I let my phone play a random selection of classical music on my phone, and as I was listening, I just had to know what it was I was hearing. So I gazed at the screen excitedly to find out. And I added all of Finzi's orchestral works to my playlist. And if there wasn't digital music, I would have worn the tape out. I found myself listening to Finzi as I traveled the short journey every day to St. Vincent's Hospital to be with my father as he was dying. And it provided me with a soundtrack which accompanied my grief, my exhaustion, my love, and my memories. So for me, music is what the sacred sounds like. It draws on the emotions, it speaks of something beautiful, and accompanies us through life's triumphs, life's trials, but life's loveliest moments. There is so much of it yet to be discovered, and I recommend that you seek out some music that you've never heard before, and listen to what it might tell you about the sacred. Amen.